This is the Talk Show America Show.
To the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed, folks. Wow. I mean, just so much going on. It's unbelievable. I don't even know where to begin to start between Wisconsin folks and obviously Egypt and Yemen and Libya and startings up in Iran again going on and a few of these other countries besides. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's China. There's even talk in China now about protests, folks, and things of that nature. Of course, in China, I think they'll take care of it, but there's talk about that as well. It just seems to be spreading around the globe. Even here in the United States, we have a little bit, not as bad, obviously, as it is in Egypt and in Yemen and, in a few of those places, Libya. It's just unbelievable, folks. I mean, you don't even know where to start anymore when these things, and this is why a weekly show now is a tough thing to do, because there's just so much going on, folks. Where do you start? Where do you dig into, these subjects? And the problem is that by the time I get ready to do a show once a week, these things have gone on and they're past, some of them. Of course, Wisconsin's still going on, folks. Egypt, obviously, still going on. Yemen, still going on. Libya, a big hotbed right now, that going on. All types of protests in the Middle East, just unbelievable. Iran's starting up again. China is talking about it, as we said. Remember that that song by Billy Joel, "We Didn't Start the Fire." You just think of all these things going on right now, and have that song playing in the background. I mean, it basically covers the whole bit for the most part. Just amazing. It really is, and I wish I had an answer for everybody to tell you how we could cover this all. Of course, I mean, but you got to follow my Facebook feeds, folks, my Twitter feeds. If you follow them, you'll basically get – I try to keep up with it as much as I can. It's almost impossible. It's hard to even do the blog because I'm doing so many other things trying to keep up with the information. The Twitter feeds and the Facebook feeds are the fastest way to do it because I can click on the stories and keep on going between my cell phone and the computers here. And, of course, I have other things to do besides, during the day. So, unfortunately, I don't spend 24 hours a day doing this, or fortunately, maybe, in whichever way you look at it. But just amazing indeed, folks, all the things that are going on. Just amazing indeed. And, of course, if you want to go to the Facebook feed, it's Facebook.com/Talk Show America, folks. Facebook.com/Talk Show America. That will bring you to the Facebook feed. The Twitter feed is Twitter.com/Talk Show America. So it's pretty simple to get to either one of them. And if you subscribe to them, the stories are there constantly, daily. I put out all the stories and what I think is pertinent, folks. And right now, I know some people probably looking at my Twitter page and my Facebook page going, "Oh, my God, how do you keep up with this?" Well, exactly. That's the point. But it's the fastest way to do it, and at least gives you the headlines and a little bit of a brief synopsis of what might be going on. But anyway, folks, I want to talk a little bit about Wisconsin in the opening here today on the show because, obviously, Wisconsin is what is directly affecting us right now here in the United States. It's the hotbed issue of the day where we're talking about unions and we're talking about public unions in this case. And, of course, we're talking about state deficits that are running out of control along with the federal deficit, folks, and what we can do to rein in spending. Back in November, folks, the people – of this country elected Republican representatives in the federal government and Republican governors in the state government, folks, to rein in this spending. This is what the Tea Party people wanted. This is what the Republicans wanted. This is what the conservatives wanted. Folks, we want this spending reined in. We want government spending under control. First of all, we don't want to be taxed any more than we have to, because it's already out of control. We want to rein in the spending so that our taxes will stay down. And also, we want to be able to get the deficit down, folks, so that our grandchildren and our children, our grandchildren, are not, loaded down with this burden. We just can't do it anymore. So along comes the Republicans and Governor Walker in Wisconsin proposing a bill that would require government employees of the state of Wisconsin to pay 5.6% towards their pensions, folks, and 12.8% towards their health care costs, so that they could they can contribute to try to cut down on the deficit. So, of course, the unions don't want this, so they're protesting it. The teachers are out there calling in sick. Doctors are giving them notes. They're not sick. They're protesting or whatever, folks. And along this comes. I mean, so, and it was expected to some extent that obviously they wouldn't be happy about it. But where do we draw the line? Where do we decide to say, listen, we've got to stop? And I think that the line has been drawn here. So what happens? The Democrats in that state, the representatives and senators that would vote in these things, run out of the state into another state so that they don't have to vote. So they hijack the process, folks, the Democratic process. Of getting up and arguing on the floor that is why they don't think this should happen. And then the vote happens, and then it goes with the way it goes. They hijack this process by stalling it off because they're not around to vote, folks. And this is how they, this is how they take care of this problem. So, this is not a good thing, and it's certainly not good for our form of government, which is supposed to, sit down, debate and these things, and then vote. That's not happening, folks, because they've run to another state, so they don't have to vote on it, because they know they're not going to win. It's sad when you see these things happening, folks, and unfortunately in this country, I think you're going to see more of this. I don't think you're going to see less. Other states are now looking into the same situation that Wisconsin has and looking for the same ideas. Now, just to give you a little bit of an idea, as a former union official myself, I was president of my local for 6 years. You look at some things here. And one of the things that you can look at here is that you can see the national average of what people pay towards their pensions, which is about 7.6%, 7.5%, maybe 8% in some states, and the national average on health care, what they would pay in, which is about 20%. So asking the government employees of Wisconsin to pay 12.6% towards their health care is not unreasonable when the national average is 20%. Asking the Wisconsin public employees to pay 5.6% towards their retirement, their pension, is not unreasonable considering that the national average is about 7.5% to 8%. So we have to look at this realistically, folks. We're in a financial crisis. If we were not in the financial crisis, if we were going strong, government's economy's great, no problems, no deficits, we're doing fine. I could understand their argument. I certainly could. But where do we draw the line? Where do we decide to say, listen, we just can't keep doing this? I mean, we have to. If we're going to talk about cutting federal and state deficits and spending, then it has to start somewhere. And, along with cutting programs that we don't need. I'm not at all just saying it should come off the public employees' backs. Absolutely not. But that has to start, too. We cannot continue to be giving out these pensions and these benefit packages that are just overwhelmingly expensive, folks. We can't. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. If you work in the public sector, you have to understand that. You are at the beck and call, basically, of the taxpayers. Believe me, I hear this every day in my job. I pay your salary. Well, they do. People do if they pay taxes. I pay taxes too, folks, so I actually pay for my own salary in some ways as well. But the bottom line is you hear that. But that is basically a true statement, that a collective unit of taxpayers pay your salary. You work for them. And that's true. So you have to understand that if you go into the public sector, folks, expect that it will be largely be controlled by the economy. This is not the first time that these things have had to happen. This is not the first time that we've had to face, hey, we can't give you a raise. We can't give you a cost of living raise. And hey, we may have to go back and have some concessions on what we negotiated for last year, at least until we get through the next couple of years to see what the budget what the budget's going to look like, and we might be able to give some of that back. We got to rein in the spending, folks. It's just the way it is. It's unfortunate. I know it's not an easy thing for people, but for our teachers to be and other employees to be using doctors, and doctors giving them notes saying they're sick when they're not, folks, this is fraud. And this needs to be investigated. And these teachers that are claiming they're sick when they're not also are, they're robbing the taxpayers of money because they're out sick getting paid when they're really not sick, folks. So they're abusing that sick time. I'm sorry, but this is the case. Now, as a public employee myself, I understand people being upset to some extent, but they also have to balance that out with the fact that, things are tough. We're going to have to try to do something on our part. And I don't think 5.6% is much to ask. And if you add it all up, basically, folks, it comes to about 20% that they would nationally, on the national average, be paying for their health care alone if they were in some other state. You've got to look at it realistically. And that's the way it is. You can say what you want, and of course the unions folks are looking at this from a money standpoint, obviously, because, their people pay dues, so they have to do something, for that dues money they get paid. They have to try to fight this. But the bottom line is it's not all collective bargaining that's going to disappear, folks, just the collective bargaining over probably benefits. The wages are still, they can still bargain collectively on that. But it is what it is, unfortunately. People are fighting it, understandably. To some extent, I can understand them trying to fight it, but also, I think you have to realize at some point in time, the honeymoon is over. And we have to get back to reality. It's as simple as that. And you know what? You have to sit down and make concessions, and you have to sit down and come to something that's realistic. The problem right now is we have just really things have gotten out of control with some of these budgets. And that's just the way it is, unfortunately. Some other states are now considering this. Indiana, I know, is considering it. Unfortunately, I believe that. And matter of fact, folks, some of these Democrats in Indiana have also decided that they're going to take off to another state so there's no vote on it. And I guess the from what I understand, the governor of Indiana has decided this is probably not the time to take up this battle. So he wants the Republicans to pull this Wisconsin-style bill from their legislation there. Again, here we go, folks. We've got to control this. It's going to come to a lot of states. This is not going to be something that's just going to all of a sudden out of nowhere disappear if Wisconsin decides to compromise a little bit. Of course, they say, as there's the old saying, right? Well, not old saying, but the new saying right now they have is as Wisconsin goes, so goes the country. Well, to some extent, that will be true, folks. Because many states will take that as a model one way or the other to see how this goes. If it goes successfully, I think a lot of other states will try to put something like this through. If it doesn't go so well, I think some states will decide maybe it's not a good idea. Other states are going to say we don't have a choice but to try to put it through. It's a hotbed, and it's going to remain to be seen. This will lead. I mean, obviously we don't know right now because of the fact that right now we're still waiting to get this bill to push through. the protests are there right now. The governor's talking about people being fired if they were abusing their sick time. The investigation into doctors who they know were writing these notes. It's a tumultuous situation. There's no doubt about it, and a lot of turmoil there. For the most part, right now, things are fairly. There's protests and those, but there haven't been any real violence, and that's the good thing. But you would hope that would stay that way. But you never know. I mean, you hope that it doesn't get too crazy. We'll have to see. But you got to stand with the governor, folks. I think he's doing what he believes is right. The Republicans are doing what they believe is right there, and it's the Democrats' duty, folks, to go to to their legislature, and legislate, and to argue, and maybe by some chance they may be able to get something, some type of compromise. But to run and hide in Illinois is not getting it done, and they are actually hijacking the democratic process. They are not allowing it to take place. I can only imagine what would happen if the Republicans had done this, which I wouldn't even support at that point in time. Bottom line is, filibuster, whatever you think you have to do, but to run away to another state so that you can't be present to vote and that they can't come and get you, to make you do your job, it's ridiculous, folks. It's ridiculous. And now we have, Democrats in Indiana who start to think they can do the same thing. I mean, this is just getting silly. Those legislatures who left Wisconsin to go to Illinois to avoid folks having to vote on this are not doing their job, and they should be penalized for the days that they have not been in legislative session debating this, whether or not finally voting on it when the time comes. That should be deducted from their pay every day that they're not there, because they're not doing their job. Their job is not to hide in some plush hotel in Illinois so that they can try to distract the vote, in other words, not have one. It's not their job, and that's the bottom line. And I mean, that's the case. And unfortunately for us, they seem to think that this is what they should be doing, and now it's may spread to Indiana even. I mean, this is ridiculous, folks. If they don't do the job, that should be it. All right, we'll be right back, folks, after these messages here on the Talk Show America Show.
These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire, or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-939-4755. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with BBB-rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you, so you save money with our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755.
And all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
Medicare Diabetic.
Hello, I'm a diabetic with insurance.
Medicare Diabetic is offering diabetics at no cost a multilingual talking pain-free test meter. Call, qualify, and receive as a bonus a blood pressure monitor absolutely free. If you have Medicare or insurance, Medicare Diabetic may send both your monitors and test supplies directly to your home at no cost. Insulin and syringes are available as well. Copay and deductibles may apply. Call 800-993-0617. That's 800-993-0617.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom59.com. Get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom59.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 59.com. Freedom59.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
All right, folks, and welcome back to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it. Very much indeed, folks. Well, you know, folks, as we were talking about these things, apparently there's some type of problem I have with the studio computer. Again, it's so every once in a while you're going to hear some jumping. I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to find out myself. But we're going to go on with the show, folks, because I've got a lot of other things going on here. But anyway, I wanted to get to this part here. We're talking about the Wisconsin, the unions protesting in Wisconsin, and obviously the little problems that it's causing. But get a little of this, folks. Remember when Representative Giffords was shot in Arizona? Remember all the rhetoric about Sarah Palin and her campaign posters that she had up and things of that nature that have targets on different areas, and one of them was Arizona, and they tried to say those targets were, those rifle sites were, inflammatory, and that's what caused Giffords to be shot and all this other ridiculous BS, folks. Well, recently, folks, an idiot from my state, a Democratic congressman from my state, folks, basically says that unions need to go out on the streets and get a little bloody. This, folks, from a Democratic congressman up here in Massachusetts, Representative Mike Capuano, I believe it is, a Democrat from up here in Massachusetts, who told a crowd in Boston on Tuesday who were rallying in solidarity of Wisconsin union members that they needed to go out on the streets and get a little bloody. Now this is really ridiculous, folks, and uncalled for. I cannot believe this was even said. Of course, it's an idiot from my state. What do you expect, folks? But I'm telling you, this is unreal. Had any Republican congressman suggested this, it would have been a complete chaos and turmoil with the mainstream news media saying, see, look at these people. Let's see, this is what they always do. But a Democratic congressman comes out and basically calls for unions to go out on the street and riot and draw blood. Just a little bit. They're going to say, well, he didn't mean that way. Folks, the rifle sites, the scope sites on the posters for Sarah Palin or the campaign things for Sarah Palin didn't mean that either. But that didn't stop the left and the mainstream news media from running right out and trying to make it sound as though and basically blaming her for Giffords being shot. Now we have a Democratic congressman from the bluest of blue states up here in Massachusetts, folks, basically saying that the unions need to go out on the streets and get a little bloody. What is he proposing? What does he mean by that? Get a little bloody when necessary. Every once in a while, you need to go out on the streets and get a little bloody when necessary, he said. He said he's proud to be here with people who understand that it's more than just sending an email to get you going. Everyone, once in a while, you need to get out on the streets and get a little bloody when necessary. It's just unbelievable, folks. This isn't his first, talk about violent rhetoric. Last month, this idiot went out and said, politicians, I think, are too bland today. I don't know why, what they believe in. Nothing wrong with throwing a cup of coffee at someone if you're doing it for human rights. Are you kidding me, folks? Unbelievable indeed. Again, here's talk about violent rhetoric. He's talking about, you know, it's nothing wrong with someone throwing a cup of coffee at someone. If they're doing it, if that coffee is scalding hot, and you could certainly cause some bad burns on someone. Not to mention the fact that you destroy their clothing, which is their property. So you're in the and it's an assault. So he's basically telling people to go out and assault people, destroy their property, possibly. Now it could be considered in this state, folks, assault with a dangerous weapon. If that coffee is hot, that is a dangerous weapon. It can cause serious bodily harm, severe burns. Not to mention the fact that it's an assault because it's you're throwing it at someone without their, obviously they don't want it thrown at them, and you're causing property damage, which would be in this case wanton property. Well, in this case, I would call it malicious destruction of property, because your malicious intent was to cause that person harm, to stain their clothes. These are crimes that this man is going out and asking people to conduct this crime. Throw a cup of coffee at someone if you're doing it for human rights. Come on, folks. I mean, you want to talk about rhetoric? Here is a Democratic congressman talking, violent rhetoric, out of his mouth every 5 minutes here. You know, he says that last month, and this month he's turning around and saying that these people, need to go out. He said, emails aren't enough, that it's time to get a little bloody. It's time to go out to get bloody. This is crazy. He is advocating violence, folks. And it should not be allowed. We're talking about little rifle sights, or, pictures of rifle sights. And it was just, it's just symbolic, folks, as you know and as I know. In those campaigns, these are the areas that we're targeting. It wasn't targeting any person per se. It just was to show. It's done in all political campaigns. The Democrats have done it too. When George Bush was running, they had targets on maps and paint pictures of targets in Texas. It's just the way it's done, folks. And everyone understands that except for these people when they're not doing it themselves. Now here comes this congressman now that tells unions that they need to go out on the streets and get a little bloody. After last month, he was talking about that you should be able to throw a cup of coffee at someone if you're doing it for human rights. So you can burn their face, burn their hands, burn their arms, burn their exposed skin, ruin their clothes, assault them, because that's what it is, with a cup of coffee, and that's okay. It's okay to do that. Folks, I'm sorry, but it's not. You can protest, you can disagree with people, but you don't have a right to assault people. You don't have the right to assault them with a dangerous weapon, which is what a hot cup of coffee is considered here up here in the state of Massachusetts. I can assure you that if Mr. Capiano were to throw a hot cup of coffee at someone in my area and burn them and cause damage to their clothing, that he would be placed under arrest immediately. And charged with assault with a dangerous weapon, assault and battery with a dangerous weapon in this case, and destruction of property, which would be the clothing, and also assault, assault because he was committing an assault besides. So this is what would happen. And unfortunately, for us folks, we have these people who, no matter what goes on, they're going to be shooting this rhetoric around, we're going to be looking at this rhetoric for what it is in this case. If a Republican had said this, folks, we'd never hear the end of it. And it's not right on top of it. And I would expect it if a Republican said this, it wouldn't be right. Apparently, folks, he was at this rally. And there was a Tea Party, counter protest going on across the street. He was pointing to them when he said this. They need to go out and get bloody. He was advocating violence, folks, against the counter protesters. He was advocating violence, and just really unreal. Where's the mainstream news media? Why aren't they picking up on this? Why aren't they touting this all over the place? Why aren't they saying that, he shouldn't be advocating violence like this? It's okay to protest and to peaceably protest and point out your views. It's your free speech. But why are they not admonishing him for making this statement, or for that matter, the statement that he made a month ago? Had anybody heard of this? No, because the mainstream news media ignores it completely. They ignore it completely. They don't want to deal with it, folks. They want to pretend it never happened. That's the way they want to do things. Well, it never happened, so that's fine. We're just going to go on with the way that we've been doing things and go from there. The bottom line is, folks, that regardless of whether or not, it's symbolic or however that he's thinks he's talking, or that's what they're going to try to say. He's making these statements, and he's making them, to people at a rally. We had better start waking up in this country. This is really irresponsible on this congressman's part to make these statements, either one of them, the hot coffee comment or the comment about going out on the street and get bloody, which is worse, in my opinion. Somewhere along the line, folks, we have to start deciding that we're going to be civil here. If you're going to talk about civility, I mean, it's just as simple as that. And we'll be right back, folks, after these messages.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now at 800-545-4460 and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste a minute helping you with your tax problems. We'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. We've settled millions of dollars of tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation, 800-545-4460. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-545-4460. That's 800-545-4460. Again, 800-545-4460.
We hadn't talked, wanted to touch, or felt close in years, but Marriage Fitness turned our marriage around. Thank you so much, Mort.
Counseling was just a weekly blame fest. It drained us emotionally and financially. Marriage Fitness is totally different. This program actually works.
Hello, I'm Mort Fertel, creator of Marriage Fitness, the revolutionary, clinically proven program that will save your marriage. This is not marriage counseling. You won't have to dig into your past or dredge up your problems. Instead, you'll use a step-by-step system of positive relationship habits that will transform your marriage.
My husband wanted out and wouldn't go for help. I started Marriage Fitness alone. Now he wants back in. We're doing the program together.
Subscribe to Mort's free Marriage Fitness email service today at marriage12.com. You'll also receive his free report, 7 Secrets for Fixing Your Marriage, plus 5 free marriage assessments. That's marriage12.com. To turn your marriage around, visit marriage12.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if you can hear it or not, but there was a couple of glitches in there with the ads. I apologize. We're going to rock and roll, though, folks. We're going to keep going. It's not about the ads, really. It's about the show anyway. So, back to what I was talking about. I'm very upset with this congressman from our state who this Democratic congressman, who had the nerve to talk about, people going out and getting bloody during these protests that are going on, obviously these union protests. And even a month ago, talking about, hey, you know what, things are too, politicians, they're too bland today. I don't know what they believe in. Nothing wrong with throwing a cup of coffee at someone if you're doing it for human rights. Well, there is something wrong with it. It's against the law, folks. I mean, and this is the problem. This is the problem I see. It's against the law. It should not be going on, and it should not be, obviously, it should not be, going on in regards to, it being advocated by our elected officials. An elected official is basically telling people to break the law, to harm people. And think there's nothing wrong with it if you're doing it for human rights. Now, the problem is when a person like this talks about these things, folks, when a person like this makes this statement, many people who are obviously, maybe less educated than this gentleman, I don't know how educated he is, obviously, if he's making foolish comments like this, but they're less educated and believe that he's a leader and he's a legislator, would kind of think that this guy knows what he's talking about. Well, it's okay if I'm doing it for human rights. It's okay to throw hot coffee on someone and burn them. It's okay to destroy their clothing. It's okay to assault them. It's not, folks. And just like it's not okay to go out and get bloody now when there are counter protesters across the street. You can protest each other, you can yell and scream at each other all day, that's your right. But when you start assaulting each other, it's no longer your right. When you start assaulting other people who are protesting and not bothering you, it is no longer your right. It is not your right to harm someone else. Unless you're defending yourself against an attack. It is not your right to go and harm that person because they don't agree with you politically. It's as simple as that. You can yell and scream and holler and try to outshout them. Sure, that's your right. No doubt about it. But it's not your right to decide to go make them bloody or get yourself bloody in the process, obviously. I don't know, folks. How this escaped, we know how it escaped the mainstream news media, folks. And in a statement, I'm proud to be here with the people who understand that it's more than just sending an email to get you going. Every once in a while, you need to go out on the streets and get a little bloody when necessary. Well, really, folks, the only time it's necessary is if you're defending yourself. That's when it's necessary. It is not necessary to get bloody because you're protesting, some other protesters. You're counter-protesting or whatever. And again, shame on this person. This person should be admonished by the legislature in Massachusetts for making these statements. Ridiculous statements, folks. I mean, like I said, Sarah Palin was basically blamed. And realistically, she was blamed for Representative Gabrielle Giffords' shooting. Because she had some targets on one of her campaign pieces, just targeting the state, which was totally ridiculous. Here's a congressman who's basically coming right out and saying that you should get violent, that you should get that you should get bloody, that you should throw hot cups of coffee on people. It's okay if you're basically in a political protest. And yet, the mainstream news media and the left ignores it. The Democratic Party in Massachusetts ignores it. This man should be told, shut the hell up. It's ridiculous. And of course, people are going to say, well, it's his right to say that, JR. Well, you know what, folks? You're right. To some extent, it is his right to say it. But when the Democrats, when the Republicans say anything close to this, they're admonished and torn apart. Well, my feeling is this. If the Republicans can't say things like this, which I would not condone if they did, neither can the Democrats. If you want to have civility, you're going to have it on both sides. You can't have it on just one side, but the other can do what they want because really, we're not the bad guys. They are. I mean, it's just ridiculous, folks. You know, I mean, this. I mean, look at what this man said. But again, like I said, what you're going to hear. Sooner or later, someone's going to say, hey, listen, what's his first name? Mike. Hey, listen, Mike, all kidding aside, you're going to have to cut down the rhetoric. What are you doing? You know, and he's going to go, well, I didn't mean it. That was just it's hypothetically speaking, just, theoretically. I didn't mean to, it was a figure of speech. Well, folks, again, figures of speech go on both sides of the aisle. If one side of the aisle can't have a figure of speech because you're going to sit there and say they advocate violence, then how can your side do it? They can't. And it shouldn't even be said. You're suggesting here that protesters should have bloodied the Tea Party counter-protesters across the street. That's what he suggested, folks, pointing to them, according to this article. I'll get it up on the blog in a little while. And then last month, him saying that you should throw hot cups of coffee at somebody. That's okay. You're protesting. It's okay. It's allowed. It's not, folks. It's a crime, at least up here in the state of Massachusetts. And believe me when I tell you, if you did it in my area, you'd be placed under arrest. I don't care what party you're from. It's just not acceptable, period, to be throwing hot cups of coffee at people. For certainly, number one, injuries could result, serious injuries too, serious burns, as well as, destruction of property and, a disturbance of the peace and assault. It's as simple as that. So amazing, but not surprising anymore. The Democrats just seem to roll on and roll on. Just seem to do that they're going to do whatever they want. And it's as simple as that. It's too bad. But unfortunately for us folks, it just seems to be the way that it's going to be. Okay. I wanted to move on a little bit more here. Trying to get to some things done here on the show while also trying to deal with whatever problem I'm having with the studio computer here. So it's distracting me on occasion. So if I sound like I'm starting to wander off a little bit, please bear with me. One thing I wanted to bring out too, folks, here, we had a couple of things come out today. We don't want to forget about Obamacare, number one. Almost sometimes I think that, some of this stuff comes out, this stuff comes out to try to mask what we're really going after, because we're still concerned about Obamacare and the cost of what Obamacare, what the cost will be. And obviously we're trying to get it repealed. It's the big thing. So we want to talk about that a little bit today, too, because there are some things that have come up here that we wanted to talk about. And one of the things, folks, that we're already looking at is Obamacare is already damaging health care, folks. The Republicans who now control the House of Representatives, which is hoping to repeal or defund Obamacare, are trying to do that, but the law has already yielded some profound destructive changes that will not be undone by repeal or defunding alone. Active steps and new laws will be needed to repair this damage, folks. The most significant change is a wave of frantic consolidation in the healthcare industry. Because the law mandates that insurers accept all patients regardless of pre-existing conditions, as you know, that's going to be the new law, folks, insurers will not make money with their current premium and provider payment structures. I told you, folks, the pre-existing condition, it sounds like it's a great idea. And listen, I'm sure if you have a pre-existing condition, you have no insurance. It is. But all that's going to happen here, and I've said this before, is that people who are healthy basically are going to pay this fine that they have, and then they're going to turn around, because it's cheaper to pay the fine than it is to get the insurance, and then they're going to turn, if they get something catastrophic, some type of debilitating disease, they're going to come along, go to the insurance company and say, okay, I'm buying insurance now, and by the way, you have to cover me because I have this debilitating disease now. It's a pre-existing condition, and you cannot deny me, and it's true. Now, the problem is, folks, that's going to cost the healthcare companies all kinds of money. So as a result, many of them have already started raising premiums and cutting payments to doctors and hospitals. Smaller and weaker insurance companies, folks, are being forced to sell themselves into larger entities. Now, doctors and hospitals, meanwhile, have decided that they cannot survive unless they achieve massive size and fast. About 6 years ago, doctors owned more than two-thirds of U.S. medical practices, according to a Medical Group Management Association. By next year, however, folks, nearly two-thirds will be salaried employees of larger institutions. Consolidation is not necessarily a bad thing, as larger medical practices and hospital systems can create some efficiencies. But, folks, in the context of Obamacare's rules and regulations, consolidation is more akin to collectivization. It means that the government bureaucrats will be able to impose controls with much greater ease. It's easier to control them if they're all consolidated into one batch. You see where we're going here. So, you know, that's certainly something that's a problem. With fewer and fewer larger entities to browbeat, all changes in Medicare and Medicaid policies will go through the entire system like a shockwave. There will be far fewer individual insurers, doctors, hospitals, device makers, drug manufacturers, nursing homes, and other health care players to resist. And this is the problem, folks. With larger entities, all, you know, with less smaller entities, they're a lot easier to control. And this is exactly what it is made to do, something that, you know, people need to understand. This is exactly what it is made to do. It is made to control better, to put better control, you know, in the hands of the government. It's very true, folks. You know, there's a little mystery as how the government will exercise the power. You know, the choices will be limited. The pathways to expensive specialist care, such as advanced radiology and surgery, will decline. Cutting-edge devices and medicines will come into the system much more slowly and be much less frequently. Used much less frequently. This is why simply defunding enforcement of the individual mandate and other upcoming activities will not be enough. Given all the consolidation, limits on treatment choices are already coming into the system. Lawmakers must take concrete steps to stop and reverse this. It's going to be hard to do, folks. Very hard to do. First of all, we have to defund it before we do anything or repeal it. If we can't repeal it, then we have to defund it so it just basically doesn't get off the ground. That has to happen. Unfortunately, that may not be something that happens quickly or at all. Those are the problems. Now, on the provider end, this would mean enacting tax and other economic shields for insurers and providers that choose not to succumb to the financial pressure encouraging consolidation. So they're going to put more taxes on them, folks, and other economic things to push them into this. It means unwinding all the rules about data compiling, reporting, and compliance requirements in information technology. Designed to increase overhead to the point that only massive and easily regulated provider organizations will be able to survive. Folks, it's true. Legislators will have to scrub the 2,700-page Obamacare law line by line to remove all of the disincentives for medical practices, hospitals, and others to remain smaller and independent. And without these folks, you're going to create a conglomerate, folks, and a conglomerate. It's going to be easy for the government to control it. And obviously you push all the smaller, more independent practices out of business, or they'll be working for the larger ones, one or the other. This is something that we have to be careful of. It's part of what the bill is made to do. Eliminate smaller competition and make it more streamlined for the government to be able to control it. And basically what's going to happen is you're going to end up getting what you get, because that's all that's going to be available. It's going to be little else available. As you know, one of the biggest things that's coming along in the Obamacare bill is that you will no longer be able to buy just catastrophic health insurance as you had been able to in the past. It will not be available to you. You know, of course, that that you'll be mandated to purchase health care or pay that fine. Now, for some people, the fine will probably be cheaper. And with the pre-existing condition that's supposed to come into play, it really opens up, Pandora's box here, because people can pay the, whatever it is, $750 fine or whatever it's been proposed, not have to get health insurance. And if they're young, they'll probably be okay for quite a few years. But now as they become sick and begin to get debilitating injuries, and everybody's going to get something that may need health care. Now they can go to the companies and say, well, you know what, I want to purchase health care now. And by the way, you have to take care of me because I have this operation. It's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to do. And they've not made one dime off this person in the meantime, in between, to try to compensate for that. Now, you know, basically this is how it operates, folks. I mean, business is business. The bottom line is what we do is that we – are able to, you keep paying insurance premiums, and many of us aren't going to use all of that we pay in or any of it for a while, but that's how they make their money, folks, on the people that don't use as much of it. That's how they make it. It's not in business just to provide you with health care and that's it. And, you know, if we lose money, too bad. I mean, that's just not the way it is, folks, whether anybody likes it or not. So if you're not contributing into the pot, folks, and then you're taking hundreds of thousands of dollars out, how long do you think people are going to last in business if that goes on for too long? I mean, it's business, whether you like it or not. It's true. It's business. So it's amazing. It really is. It's truly amazing indeed. And, you know, I mean, you have to watch out for these things, folks. We cannot let Obamacare slip by because we're worried about what's going on in Wisconsin now. And you know, obviously, you know, what's going on over there and the teachers' unions and the protests and things of that nature. We have to realize that there are still other things going on in this country that we have to fight as well. So we have to keep an eye on that. So let's not lose sight of the of what's going on. Let's understand that Obamacare itself still has to be fought while we're watching what's going on in Wisconsin, which is, you know, very interesting indeed, but unfortunately not the only thing that's going on in this country. So let's keep an eye on it. All right, folks, we'll be right back after these messages here on the Talk Show America Show, so don't go away. We'll return in a moment.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom59.com. Get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom59.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 59.com. Freedom59.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire, or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-939-4755. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with VVV-rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you, so you save money with our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755.
At all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
Medcare Diabetic.
Hello, I'm a diabetic with insurance.
Medcare Diabetic is offering diabetics at no cost a multilingual talking, pain-free test meter. Call, qualify, and receive as a bonus a blood pressure monitor absolutely free. If you have Medicare or insurance, Medcare Diabetic may send both your monitors and test supplies directly to your home at no cost. Insulin and syringes are available as well. Copay and deductibles may apply. Call 800-993-0617. That's 800-993-0617.
All right, folks, and welcome back to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it, folks, very much indeed. Okay, so a couple of minutes here before we get a scramble off, I just wanted to keep in mind, folks, there are other things going on besides, obviously, Wisconsin, although that's not that it's not important. It is. We got to keep our eye on the other things as well, Obamacare and what's going on with that. We have to keep our eye on that as well. It needs to be repealed or defunded, one of the other folks, and then we need to look at it, realistically. And even if we're defunding it, we need to look at it and start dismantling provisions that have already gone into place that are causing problems, for the economy as well as for businesses that are operating right now because of some of the provisions that have already gone into place. So we have to keep that that in mind as well. So we don't want to lose sight of that. We'll be talking a little bit more on another show, folks, in regards to the costs of Obamacare and why repealing it will reduce the deficit. Even though the CBO has tried to say it won't, we can show you evidence that it will, and why the CBO basically is wrong, because folks, they don't how the formula they use is what the problem is, and we'll show you this on the next show, the next Talk Show America show. We'll talk about this as well, try to get some sense of why it's important that we repeal or defund this bill. I mean, it's a budget buster and a half. And if it goes through, we're really going to be in trouble, completely, because once all the provisions kick in, and this is what people don't understand yet, most of it has not yet kicked in. It's going to cause a lot of budget problems for us in the country. So keep that in mind, and we'll have to. I'll try to get you this information on the next show as quickly as possible. Something else, obviously, the blog, talkshowamerica.com, folks, you can go up there. I'll have some of the stories up there as well, so you can follow them. Follow the Facebook feed, folks, and follow the Twitter feed for Talk Show America, and you'll be able to keep up with this information as well. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen to the show. I appreciate it very much indeed. If you want to email me, jr@talkshowamerica.com, the letter J, the letter R, @talkshowamerica.com. Have a great day, folks. Stay safe. We'll catch you again on the next show. God.